now. Wow. God is good, and God's got some plans for some of you today. This message you've been waiting for. You didn't know you were waiting for it, but you've been waiting for this message. And this message is tailor-made for you. The Holy Spirit has it tailor-made just for you, just for today. You're ready to go to battle. You're ready to go to war. God's ready to change some things in your life. How many of you would like some life change today? Any of you? A few of you? Not everybody. Kind of you are uncertain. Some of you already, I've stood up here and you've already, it's kind of like a story that I heard recently that there was a kind of a blooper in one of the church bulletin that this lady Barbara was in the hospital and needed more blood donated for a blood transfusion. And then she was also asking for CDs of her pastor's sermon because she was having a hard time sleeping. So you guys have to stay with me today. Okay, this is going to be big, so stay with me. We're going to be in the next, tonight or today, next week and the week after, we're going to be in Ephesians. So you can read ahead, but I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of the book of Ephesians this morning. We're going to talk about how we go to battle and what we face when we go to battle and who you are as you go to battle, as you deal with all of the inner turmoil and the inner battle of your life, as you deal with the external battle and the external war that you find yourself in. These truths, I'm going to give you three truths today that I think will change your life. Here's one thing, though, that I want to say right up front. I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and I'll tell you that I would love to punt this phrase out of Earth's orbit. I just want to hear the simple gospel. Boom! The gospel is simple, but the whole way Jesus works in your life is a mystery. And you know, the cool thing about it is, mystery isn't simple. It's more than just 1 + 1 = 2. It's huge. It's big. How many of you have a supernatural God? How many of you have a supernatural God that does miraculous things? Well, how is that simple? When God starts to work and do His stuff, there's not a simple thing about that. When God changes your life, when God changes your marriage, when God changes your health, when God changes your finances, when God changes your kids, when God changes your doubts, when God changes your fears, when God changes all of your anxieties, there's nothing simple about that. It's an amazing, mysterious, miraculous, supernatural event in your life. And it's something worth talking about. It's something worth telling other people about. And I can tell you, it is worth more than money can provide if you experience those things. The first point that I want you to see today is this. The mystery of Christ includes the wonderful news that He came for all people, including you. You see, it's really hard. Most of you have had amazing teaching in your life that has provided you an insurance policy that gives you the insurance that you have a place reserved for you in heaven. But the sad reality of that is, it's a good thing that you're going to go to heaven, but the sad reality of that is it limits what God can do in your life today. We have said it before. We've said it hundreds of times in here on Sunday morning. I've said it on Wednesday nights. I've talked about this in individual conversations. When you come down to the basic essential of what God is doing in the kingdom, as Jesus comes, as He prays in the Lord's Prayer, in the model prayer, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if God can do amazing, miraculous, supernatural things in heaven, God wants to do those same amazing, supernatural things here. It's His intention. He wants to bring His glory, His light. It's a presence-based reality in heaven, and He wants you to experience that. He wants this church to be filled with His glory. He wants your life to be filled with His glory. He wants your family and every relationship that you're in to be filled with His glory. And the mundane, apathetic, very surfacey religion that most people have in American Christianity, it doesn't reflect the fact that God's glory is present. It doesn't reflect the fact that God wants to pour out His grace and His mercy and His love and His joy and His peace, and it is marvelous. And you think that it's for other people, but guess what? It's for you. It's for you too. In verse 4 of chapter 3, how many of you have turned there already? Ephesians 3. Everybody there? Verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. That word heirs is pretty powerful. Members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In Messiah Jesus through the gospel, through the good news. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you think something that is unsearchable, something that is unimaginable, something that is so marvelous, is something that is mundane as 1 + 1 = 2? And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things. God created all things. God created everything. He spoke and everything came into existence. In John 1:1, it tells us that Christ is the Word and that He is the Word that God used to speak into existence. In Colossians 1, it says that Christ is the very vehicle of creation and He is what makes sure that protons and electrons are spinning around neutrons. He understands, Jesus is holding all things together. That Jesus is the very focus of creation. Before creation began, the Holy Spirit is brooding over the deep. So God, in all of His Trinitary, supernatural, marvelous wonder, is a part of this creation. And He created you. He created humanity. And in this whole reality, God created humanity to be able to live and to live in His presence. Tragically, sin entered the human condition. And as sin entered the human condition, it brought death. Ephesians 2:1 says that you and I, without Christ, are dead in our sins and our transgressions. And that death entered the human experience. The war began. And the war has continued to pulsate both inwardly and outwardly against human beings. God wants to be able to help you overcome these things. And it starts with understanding that God came for you. It was a life-saving mission. It was an amazing reality that He came for you. It says that in this mystery of Christ, that He wants us to perceive it, that He wants us to gain insight about it. And the original language in this text that we see used here for insight is synesis. And what it actually means, or could also be translated by, is that God wants you to have full comprehension. He wants you to have a full understanding. He wants you to have a mental knowledge to grasp the full meaning of the significance. So what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, and what I want to share with you today, is that God wants you to have a full understanding, a full grasp of how He can liberate you, how He can set you free, how He can raise you up, how He can equip you for the battle, so that all the stuff that wears you out the moment you leave this church, and some of you are dealing with this stuff right now, you're dealing with it and you're overwhelmed by it, I want to give you the full knowledge that God has already overcome it, that God wants to equip you to overcome it, that God wants to give you the victory with this. Now let me give you another little concept of this. Turn me over to Romans, the first chapter, and verse 21. Over in Romans 1, we see the diametrically opposed concept, the exact opposite spelled out for us. Here in Ephesians, Paul says, I want you to perceive my insight, my full understanding of this mystery But in Romans 1:21, Paul writes the church at Rome, and he says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, for they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The same word is used there, synesis, but there's another. There's a letter added to it, which means it's just the exact opposite. So it's the antithesis of full knowledge. It's foolishness. It's stupidity. There are kids in here, so I can't use all of the terms that I really ought to use. God doesn't want you to be dumb about these mysteries. God wants you to see that you can have this victory that's in Him. Most of us come and we live our Christian life, and it's the same today as it was yesterday, the same today as it was last week, the same today as it was last month, or 2 or 3 years ago, or right after you became a Christian. In fact, when you right became a Christian, you were excited about those things, but something has diminished in your life. And why is it diminished? Because you were at war, and you were fighting against death, and death is trying to kill you spiritually and emotionally, mentally and physically. It's trying to apprehend and to keep you from experiencing the joy that you now have in Christ. Don't be foolish. Know the full understanding. Wake up and realize that God wants to set you free. God wants to help you overcome. God wants you to live life in an amazing way. He tells us in verse 5 that previous generations, ancient Israel, and just didn't get it. They thought that because they were the specially called nation of God, that they were the only ones that were the apple of God's eye. But here Paul is saying, it's not just you guys, it's everybody. That God wants to express His love, cast His grace out to you, that you're in the net that Jesus casts, so that you might be caught with God's grace, so that you might know and understand the forgiveness that God has for you, and that when you come and when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and He fills you with the Holy Spirit, you are an empowered and filled up person. You are a lethal weapon to the darkness. Because the light dwells in you. So when we look at this passage, it's so incredible. It says that the mystery is a mystery that all people, even us, even the religious people, are able to overcome these things. That we are able to gain a full understanding of these things. So that there is forgiveness and mercy and love and grace. That we experience His glory. You know, what's also fascinating is he uses the term here, and the Greek word for it is oikonomia. We get the English word economy from this. That it's God's stewardship of His grace. It's His management. It's His plan. It's His budget, spiritually, for you to gain this mystery so that you might be set free. God's betting on you. God's invested into you. God has given you His very best. And He gave His very best because God took on Jesus, God the Son, took on human flesh and came here. And He came to this planet to be able to invest in you God's love, God's mercy, God's joy. So when we are overwhelmed, when you're involved in the battle, when you're in these internal conflicts, when you're in these external conflicts, God is here to bring the victory. I can tell you that some of you, your mind games are exhausting you. Your mind games that take you back to your past, that make you reel and rock in all of the sense of condemnation that you have, your mind games that make bitterness well up in you. When lies are spoken about you or when you speak lies, when you lack integrity or when other people lack integrity against you, all of this stuff is swirling in the human condition, and God wants you to know you can be victorious, you can win in these things so that the darkness has no place in your life. That you can stand in the light, in the glory, and be fully alive. The second thing that I want you to see is this. The church is the community. We are a community. We are a community that is designed to be connected. You can't be in community if you don't have relationships. And that we are to be in relationships that share in community. The church is the community God uses to communicate the amazing, simple, but complex message of love, hope, and forgiveness. And that overcomes the darkness that schemes to destroy humanity and creation. Oh, it does creation too. I know that environmentalism is a huge issue, either positively or negatively, with many people. All I know is it says in Romans 8 that all creation yearns for the return of Jesus. And it yearns for the return of Jesus because when humanity fell, everything was distorted and twisted. And there's ramifications to that. Out of our brokenness, out of the brokenness and sinfulness of humanity, the fact that we are not stewarding God's planet as we should, because we are not able to steward God's planet as we should, because most human beings are spiritually dead. And when we are spiritually dead, we can't follow the management plan that God has. So all creation feels it. All creation is yearning for God's people to come into who they are. All creation is yearning for Christ's return so that with his return, all creation is also redeemed as God's people are redeemed. But the darkness, the enemy, wants to destroy you. Jesus says in John's gospel that the enemy, that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you face that. That's your battle. It's what you deal with. And every window of your soul, every gateway in your life is open to those temptations that the darkness has. Whether it's through your eyes, through your smell, through your what you hear, what you touch, what you taste, everything is a gateway that leads you to the place where the enemy can gain a foothold. And Paul is telling you it is an amazing mystery that God wants you to gain an understanding to overcome those temptations to be able to live to the fullness of what God has for you. In verse 10 it says this, so that through the church, through this community of faith, through God's people, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. So you and I have a huge responsibility. You and I have been called and set aside to do something, to make sure that this manifold wisdom of God is declared and proclaimed to the darkness, that all of the enemy, that all of Satan, all of the demonic, you and I, our lives, our voices, our worship, everything is to proclaim this manifold witness, this manifold wisdom that God has for us. Now, what is really amazing, I love this passage because I love this word manifold. It's one of my favorite words in Greek. It's one of my favorite words in the entire New Testament. And what it means is this. It means that it's multifaceted, varied in color. So this multicolored, multifaceted wisdom that God has, the complexity and the amazing simplicity of God's love for you, the vastness and the broadness of God's love for you, creates this manifold wisdom and how we live and our talk and what we proclaim. Our proclamation and declaration of our lives and our words should be saying to all of the darkness of the powers and the principalities that war against God and God's people, there's a new sheriff in town. It's a new day. And God's people are equipped and we are speaking against you. We are living against you. And you're probably thinking, some of you are thinking, what the heck is he talking about? Darkness, Satan, the demonic, powers and principalities. Why don't you turn over to Ephesians 2? We're in Ephesians 3. It'll be easy for you to find. We'll cover some things over the next 2 weeks. In Ephesians 2:2, let's just read verse 1 because I've already cited it once already today. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit is now at work in the sons of disobedience. When the fall took place, you and I lost our management position. We were supposed to manage the world. Now the enemy manages this world. And the enemy has the air between here and heaven. And that we are now speaking truth. Jesus has come. God's love is breaking through. The glory of God, the light of God is beating back the darkness. And because we are looking, as Alan mentioned in one of the things that he said, we are looking at the tension between the now and the not yet. So that as we look for heaven to come on earth, we are looking for the glory of God that never has any shadows in heaven to be able to beat back the shadows of the darkness here. And we are, your lives, your words, your activity, your actions, your ministries are to beat back the darkness and to declare that there's a new day. There's a new wisdom that comes with the mystery of Jesus. Let's move on quickly. I want to just give you an illustration. How many of you know that I like history? Yeah. How many of you know that I really am I'm kind of enthralled, not by his total life, but by Martin Luther, right? Yeah. And I've told you about 1517 and the church, 95 theses at the church door at Wittenberg. And he just wanted to start a conversation. Didn't want all this to happen. In 1540, he gets a message that one of his favorite disciples, one of the men that has helped him so much, Friedrich Myconius, has become sick, and he's going to die. It's a fatal illness. And Luther was kind of pugnacious. He was kind of one of those guys that if you're at a party, you probably don't want to hang out with because he's so opinionated. And Luther hears that Friedrich is on his deathbed. And so he writes him a letter. You cannot die. You will not die. I need you. I am praying that God will heal you and will restore your health. I am praying that you will actually outlive me. And he sends this letter. Well, I can tell you that he probably didn't have any of the pastoral care classes that I had, because if you're dying and on your deathbed, I'm not going to write you a letter like that. It's kind of like cold, isn't it? You're not going to die. He reads this. He can't speak. He is not comatose, but Friedrich cannot speak, and he has this letter written to him, read to him, and he gets well. He actually outlives Luther by 2 years. Okay, that happens in 1540. But what about today? Does God do amazing and miraculous things today? Yeah, in the first service we had a lady who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And they get ready to do the surgery a couple of weeks ago. We prayed for her, life group prayed for her, and there's no tumor. So God answers prayers today just like in 1540. You know, God does stuff today like he did in the first century. God does things that are crazy and wild and amazing and off the charts that we can't understand fully because he's a supernatural, miraculous, incredible God. And that his love does amazing, amazing things. And that we're here to beat back the darkness. It's this manifold witness of the mystery of who Christ is. The ancient Puritans back in New England would call it the manifold presence of God. And I am praying for the day that there is this manifold presence of God in our worship service, that there is this glory of God that shows up, that just overwhelms all of us. It overwhelms us to the place, and you might really like this, where I can't even preach because his presence, who needs to preach when God is present? That our singing is just totally about being in his presence. That we are changed and transformed and will never, ever, ever be the same again because his presence is so profound. Which leads to the third point. Because God is the ultimate Father. God is the ultimate Father. You have been bestowed, and I've talked about this a lot, a new identity and destiny that is rooted in his love for you. I just want to cover this one more time. Look what it says in verse 13. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And that is just an awesome passage. First of all, he says, don't give up because of my suffering. We look at the world and we see suffering, and we see people that are good people suffering. It really breaks our hearts. And we wonder, where is God? You know, how does this happen? Well, when you read over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 33, you read about this litany of stuff, that bad stuff that happened to the Apostle Paul. I mean, he's whipped, he's caned, he's stoned. He has to be snuck out of a city in the darkness. He's shipwrecked. He's bitten by a snake. I mean, he goes through all of these unbelievable challenges in his life. And he's telling the church at Ephesus, don't panic. In fact, I'm going to bow my knees. I'm going to spend time praying for you before the Father, because He is our Father and we are a part of His family. And in Romans 8, going back to Romans 8, it tells us that not only do we call God Father, but He is our Abba. He is this intimate Father that loves us. He is like the father at the end of Luke 15 who runs off the steps to the prodigal with arms wide open and sweeps them up in their arms and holds them. And you and I are in need of that kind of love from a Father, from a Daddy God who loves us with such intimacy. And then he tells us that we can be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I can be filled from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of you that are listening to me and you're thinking, all of that sounds great. How do I experience that? All of this is just rhetoric, because I can go home this afternoon and my life is different. Let me give you a real important truth. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have put your faith in Jesus, God wants to fill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet with His presence. He wants the Holy Spirit to be deeply filling and ongoing filling your life. He wants to fill you up every day. He wants to give you, and when God is filling you up with His presence every day, then you are equipped. You are locked and loaded and ready to go to war. It is so tragic to hear the number of Christians that tell me and think they can never change or never be different. Every single one of us in this room can be changed. And every single one of us in this room can be different because of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us whole. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the way we think. It's the Holy Spirit that purifies our motives in life. It's the Holy Spirit that gifts us. It's the Holy Spirit that cleanses us and sanctifies us. It's the Holy Spirit that goes on and on and on what the Holy Spirit does, and it's God's presence. And you want to talk about something supernatural and miraculous? God lives in you. God lives in you. You know, in the tragedy about 5 years ago, there were about 4 or 5 books that came out that said, stop asking Jesus into your heart. I guess they didn't read Ephesians 3. Because in Ephesians 3, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And how does Christ dwell in your life? How does He fill your life? When you put your faith in Him. You see, many of us think faith is just the definition that Christianity is my faith. It's like another word, a synonym for religion. Faith moves mountains. Jesus tells us in the parables that faith moves mountains, that if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that you can speak to a mountain, it'll move. And so many of you have, I mean, the topography of your life, you have Mount McKinley, Mount Everest, K2. I mean, you've got ginormous mountains in your life. So what's your faith like? Do you have the faith to believe that a supernatural and miraculous God can change those things? You know, when you have the presence of God in your life, you realize that all those things can change. All those things become different. All those things can be defeated. All those things can be overcome. All of the doubts, when the bad thinking starts to enter in, and you have doubts, and you have fears, and you're beginning to believe the lies that are whispered into your heart by the enemy, or the lies that people are speaking against you, and you start to have all of that stinking thinking, the Holy Spirit is there for you to rely on, to turn to change the way you think, that we might be strengthened and filled with the fullness of God. Today, for this invitation, I want you to be able to have this opportunity. It says, Paul said he bent his knee in prayer. That is simple. It's a great posture to humble ourselves before God and to say, God, here's my stuff. But what's needed by most of us today is to make a declaration, to make a proclamation that I want to be filled, that I want more of God, that I want more and more and more and more of Him. And when I get enough, I want more, because you can't get too much. And that when you get up tomorrow morning, you start by saying, God, fill me. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Jesus, you're living in me. Let just electrify my life with your presence. Help me to overcome the stuff that's in my life. And so today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to proclaim and declare, God, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, fill me. And I can tell you, if you pray those two prayers, if you've never had a prayer answered in your life, I can tell you that if you say, God, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. I will promise you that the Holy Spirit will come into your life greater than He was when you came in here today. If you are willing, if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, if you are desiring for God to pour out His presence on you today, God is here to fill you, to bless you, to empower you, to lock and load you for the battles that you face. You can do that right there in your seats. You can come here to the altar. This is a great place to bow your knee. You can come, and we'll have friends here at the front that will pray with you. Ethan's here. I'm here. We're here to pray with you this morning. This is a day, this is one of those amazing days that God gives us, that God shows up, and that God wants His glory to just fill your life. You really don't need Ethan and I. We're just here for the faint in heart. All you need is to speak honestly to God, because it tells us here in chapter 3, it's all about faith. It's about what you want. How bad do you want it? And if you want the Holy Spirit to fill your life, and you want Jesus to fill your heart, if you want God to change and move your life so that today is the first day of an amazing journey that's different than anything else you've experienced with Him before, God's going to be faithful in doing that, whether somebody prays for you or with you or not. So our altar is open for you to come. If you'd like to find out more about trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're here. That's what we're here to share with you today. But we want you to know Jesus. We want you to know the Holy Spirit in a fresh new way. So why don't you ask Him to fill you, top to bottom, bottom to top. Won't you stand and won't you come?